views and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR. We are at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner, and I'm your host, David Pruz. My format is as usual. On Mondays, it's business and economics that affect Fairbanks and the state of Alaska. Tuesday is my day of politics, so my guests will be based around that. Wednesday, my guest is an interesting Fairbanksan, pioneer, local legend, maybe even a nefarious character. Friday is all about Fairbanks, what we get to do over the weekend, those opportunities that are afforded to us, those things that make Fairbanks special. My job is to introduce this world, this planet, to the wonderful world of Fairbanks, give everyone that Fairbanks fix we need once in a while. I'll try to get to your phone calls, but sometimes our conversations just don't stop, but please be patient. I will get to them. We are at 458-TALK, 458-8255, and with that, I have Governor Dunleavy calling in. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, David. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for taking your time out of your busy schedule to give me a call and say hello to Fairbanks and see what we're doing up here. You've been very busy.
Well, it's part of the job, right?
Well, you know, there's a job and then there's a job with the job behind the job, and you've been very busy, so we really appreciate that. Now, there's a lot of things going on still in play. We just got done with this fourth special session where basically they just checked in and they checked out and that was it.
Exactly.
We had a 90-day, then that extended to a 121-day session. Then we had a 30-day session because the legislature couldn't get a budget together. And they came back for a second session, which was 6 days long. Then we said, okay, why don't we do a planning session before our third special session, get all these things that we need to do lined up in our financial basket. And you put together an independent group of 9 to 12 people on the House and Senate on both parties, and they all came together and said, we got to do this, this, and this, and you had a third special session to get it done, and nothing happened. And then you said, okay, let's try a fourth special session, and Alaska has made all this money, and why don't you look at doing a second dividend? And that didn't happen. Am I sort of... Does chronology speaking here correct, or are you going to correct me?
No, you're correct, David. Unfortunately, you're correct.
That's what I was afraid of.
Yeah, because the whole idea, again, was, you know, ever since the previous governor vetoed the PFD, this thing has been in chaos. It's kind of like Humpty Dumpty was knocked off the wall. So what's occurred, again, is it's kind of brought back to the forefront debates and disagreements on the permanent fund and PFD that occurred decades ago. And that is, there's those that want all of the PFD, all of the permanent fund for government. That's it. They just want it for government. There's those that believe that the permanent fund, consisting of royalties and growth in the fund and possibly other additions from the legislature over time, that those royalties rightfully belong to the people of Alaska who were denied that through our Statehood Act or our Constitution. And so we've had a program in place, the PFD, for decades. It was oftentimes referred to as the third rail in politics until, once again, the previous governor vetoed it. And now we're trying to piece this back together so that we can save the PFD, because there are a number of folks that want to use all of it for government. We believe that money in the hands of individuals is the best use of their money, and in this case, the money, the PFD from the royalties. So we thought we would get something done. We laid out, we answered all the questions for several months. There was constant questions from those that you know, we're kind of looking for reasons. I think there are those in Juneau, David, that really genuinely are looking for answers, and there's those in Juneau that are looking oftentimes for excuses not to do something. And so those folks that didn't want anything done, unfortunately, they bested those that wanted to get something done. So right now what we have is we don't have a sustainable fiscal plan at this moment. We don't have a permanent fund dividend at this moment. And we're going into a regular session here in January. And the people of Alaska are simply just going to have to ask their legislators, call them up and say, how did you vote on the PFD and why? And in an era now of $84 barrel oil, potentially over $1 billion surplus, individuals hurting, single moms hurting, people lost their jobs during the pandemic, couldn't pay bills, they're trying to get paid for fuel that's escalating in price because of these supply chain issues and inflation. All of these reasons come together that would logically dictate that we would be able to solve this issue, come up with an agreement on a 50-50 with the PFD, constitutional amendment for the people of Alaska to contemplate now as opposed to a potential constitutional convention. And the legislature decided that the best avenue was to do absolutely nothing and get out of town.
You know, if it doesn't matter to me what side of the PFD issue you're on. My philosophy was, out of all the years that we've had since Governor Walker vetoed it, out of all the years, this is that one year where we could have gone and afforded the 50-50 split. And then you take into account some of the things that you said. We had not one government employee during COVID lost a job nor a paycheck. Yet, how many private citizens that don't work for a government entity lost revenue, income, a job, a livelihood, a business? If there ever was a year for it, this was the year. And you gave them multiple opportunities. And they didn't do it. And like you said, they're going to have to explain it.
You know, what's a surprise to me, and always has been, ever since I was not in politics, when I got in on the school board, when I got in the Senate, and I was governor, I've always been, you know, I always found it curious that individuals that run for office, they need the votes of individuals. That's a given. That's the form of government we have, thank God. But they'll go and they'll knock on the door, and somebody will come to the door, and they'll look them in the eye, and they'll say, hey, I want to go to so-and-so, either Juneau or the borough assembly or the school district. I want to represent you. What are your thoughts? What do you think we should be thinking about? Uh-huh. Yep. Okay. Got it. All right. Well, I'm asking for your vote because I want to go and represent you. And then lo and behold, what happens inevitably to a number of folks, they forget that entire scenario, that entire conversation with the individual mom or dad or senior, that they ask for their vote to go represent them. And oftentimes what happens is these people end up representing government. So government right now is in great shape, David. $80-some barrel oil, our pension, there's no pension obligation hole. That hole of billions has been closed. The permanent fund's at $83 billion. We're going to get a money drop from the federal government. Government has never been in better shape for years.
Now, yes, you're absolutely right. You know, you're absolutely right. Government's great. People have been through the
right.
You know, and another thing is that I love to bring out COVID. Yes, it spiked, but Alaska was ranked, if not one, number two during the COVID pandemic, and you were the leader of it. Now, I've only asked you, you know, I've never asked you for anything in economics, but I've only asked you for one thing. You know, we're not going to trade Zinke for Fauci.
No, we don't want Fauci.
No, we don't. We don't want that.
We don't listen to Fauci. But no, you know, David, what's interesting about that, I mean, the virus thing has obviously dominated everything and has impacted our economy. But Alaska is still doing really well. I mean, there's a statistic that's really not talked about much, and that is the survivability rate of somebody gets COVID in Alaska is better than any other place in the country. It's 99.47% of survivability rate of individuals that get COVID. There's other states that are not even close to us. I mean, you get COVID in some of these other states, your chances of succumbing to it are higher, much higher than Alaska. And so whether it's low death rates, low death numbers, survivability rate, despite the surge, we're still doing pretty good. But, you know, we got to start, and this is important, we got to start pivoting, and we have, to looking beyond COVID, because COVID's going to be with us for years, if not forever. It's endemic now in animals.
Yeah.
It'll go back and forth between people and animals. It'll evolve over time and mutate, and you'll get other variants. And you can't wait around for COVID to disappear, because it's not going to disappear. And so, you know, I've been an advocate of folks to give serious consideration to vaccines. I have been an advocate for folks to work with their doctors if they do get infected, to see what's the best therapies for them to deal with the infection. We've got monoclonal antibodies, et cetera. But the point I'm trying to make is, if anyone is waiting around for COVID to disappear, it's not going to happen. I think the science is pretty much established on that. And so we have to learn to live with it, incorporate it, and we got to get on with our lives.
Very true. Very true. And I was so appreciated that you, as governor of Alaska, had the state of Alaska join, I believe, 22 other states in filing an immediate lawsuit when President Biden, I do not like bringing up any nationwide stuff. This is a statewide show, but this was a statewide issue when he was trying to implement mandates on federal contractors, federal workers, the workforce. If you are an office, if you are a company more than 100 people, it's mandated. And, you know, I live in Fairbanks, Alaska. I live in the state of Alaska. I'm the last person, in the last city, in the last state in the world you want to throw a mandate at. I mean, we are an independent. We're the last frontier for a reason. That's why we love it up here. So thank you for doing that.
David, isn't it awful when you really think about it? Isn't it awful that your federal government and those individuals that are supposed to be looking out for us coerce us, twist our arms, threaten us?
Economic sabotage. We're going to take away your money.
This is not what this country is supposed to be. Now, people on the phone listening, somebody say, "Well, you know, they can do it though. They have the power. They have the right." They have the power. I don't believe they have the right. That's why I think we're going to win with these court cases, and we're involved with a number of states at a number of different levels regarding these mandates, because I think mandates are simply wrong. This idea that in the United States of America, your government is going to tell you what to do with regard to a vaccination involving this virus, and if you don't listen to them, they're going to penalize you severely. They're going to cause you to lose your job, economic ruin for some folks. It's not American. Yes, you can. He might be able to get away with it because of power, but I believe the Supreme Court is going to rule against this, and they should. It's simply wrong. People do best in this country, and you said it in this state. When you sit down, you have a dialogue, and they look at you, and they go, you know, okay, that makes sense. But if they don't agree with you, and it's involving their own health, they should be left alone. And that's not what's happening here, and that's why we're fighting them.
Well, one more thing before we take a quick break. University of Alaska, Pat Pitney, she is going to, you know, I don't know if she's still going to do it since the ruling in the Fifth Court Circuit District, federal court, but she was going to implement a mandated vaccine because of the economic issues. The University of Alaska gets approximately $200 million from federal government and federal contractors and things like that. Do you know if she's still going to do that, or have you revisited that with her?
I'm not sure, because we're hoping to get rulings on these other cases really soon. I mean, we got the one on Saturday, which was pretty fast, in the Fifth Circuit.
Yeah.
And so we're hoping to get this other one. But, you know, places like university are unfortunately put in the vice as well. I mean, they're a gun to their head. So I don't know. We're going to find out. We'll check in with her. But I can tell you this. We're gonna fight to make sure that any American that's not... any American that is not convicted of a crime, that's a free American.
You know, a shot is a choice. Where does it say ever that a governmental entity can inflict you or make you put something in your body that you don't want? Unheard of until this administration. Anyway, sir, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back after these messages, okay?
All right, thanks.
We'll be back right back, Fairbanks.
is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Ho, ho, ho! Santa's elves have been busy, and they're ready to help you get a big jump on your holiday shopping this weekend at the Holiday Marketplace. There'll be over 175 mini specialty shops with one-of-a-kind gifts, beaded earrings, gorgeous stained glass, head-to-toe fur, and so much more. With so many items and vendors, there's bound to be something for everyone on your list. So come on out to the Holiday Marketplace this weekend at the Carlson Center. Friday, noon to 7, 10 to 6 on Saturday, and 11 to 5 on Sunday. Ho, 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 ho! The Holiday Marketplace, sponsored by The Radio Station.
McKinley Orthopedics Sports Medicine and Spine is proud to announce the opening of their second location, the first and only orthopedic and fracture clinic in North Pole. Patients who live south on the Richardson no longer have to drive to Fairbanks for orthopedic care. The board-certified specialists in sports medicine, fracture care, spine treatment, and joint replacements continue to be the most complete clinic in the interior. Now offering care at clinics in Fairbanks and North Pole, located on Badger Road right past North Pole Veterinary Hospital. Visit McKinleyOrtho.com.
This is Gary from Giraldo's. No matter how delicious food is, without great service, that fantastic taste, well, it would be a little less fantastic. At Giraldo's, we pride ourselves on having the most delicious old-world Italian food, but also for service that will make your visit truly memorable. From the door to the table, from the appetizer to the dessert, we strive to exceed your expectations, leaving you free to enjoy the wonderful flavors and savor your experience.
Giraldo's Italian Restaurant and Pizzeria. Say yes to garlic, say yes to Giraldo's.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
A blend of clouds and sun today with highs around 9 above. Northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies and quiet tonight. Lows dip down to about 9 below. Daytime highs approaching 6 above. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 2 degrees above zero.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Pruse here in the studio with Governor Mike Dunleavy on the phone with me. Are you ready for a quick phone call, sir? We've had one here waiting for a bit.
Sure.
Okay, here we go. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Governor Mike Dunleavy, and your name is?
Hi, this is Brian.
Brian, we're not going there today, sorry. Just not going there today, Brian. Anyway, Governor, it seems like we are under many tidal waves from the federal government. You know, my oldest brother, Dana, chairman of AIDA, Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority, he is suing the president of the United States, Biden, for the diminished capacity that his executive orders has put on the development of ANWR and state of Alaska-owned, AIDA-owned oil and gas leases. You have been pressing them on other things. They took Willow off the table for us and things like that.
You know, if people don't see it, I mean, we see it clearly at our level that this administration is really about social engineering. No matter where you turn, David, it's ludicrous because, for example, we were the energy capital of the world under Trump. We are now begging Saudi Arabia and Russia to produce more oil so we can import it. Why? Did we run out of oil? No. It was the very policies of this president who's begging for Russia and Saudi Arabia to pump oil. It was his policies to try and shut down oil in the United States of America. It makes no sense. These are the same guys that don't want you to do any timber harvesting in the Tongass, which leaves, I'll give you an example. Rhode Island has a bigger timber industry than we do because of actions to a great degree by the Fed. But, I mean, they want this logging to go overseas, where there's no environmental regulations. They want oil to go overseas. They're not getting rid of carbon by sending oil overseas. They're actually going to produce more carbon. And so it makes no sense. Their policies make zero sense. Just on that basis, they should be challenged. But we also believe that many of these decisions are unconstitutional, illegal. Just because you're the president of the United States, you are bound by a constitution, just like a governor is. And so we're going to fight them at every level. And Alaska's future is under threat from these mandates on oil plays and mining plays and timber plays. I mean, these guys will come up with some of the most creative ideas to stop us from being able to be a functional state, and we've got to fight back, and we're going to keep fighting back.
Sadly, it seems like this administration is weaponizing against the general public, states, and the population their police powers. You know, look at what they're sort of classifying people who protest at school board meetings. Now, in Fairbanks, Alaska, you know, we've had real issues over the last, I would consider, decade with our school board and their implementation of programs that are not for education, they're for social engineering. And we're having a very vocal group protesting this. And, you know, I'm a U.S. citizen. It's my right to disagree with you and protest. They're not hurting anyone, but they're calling out these far ugly policies that are just not for education.
No, nobody has the right to make me into the person they want me to be. I mean, I am my own keeper. If I'm not bothering you, just leave me alone. I mean, that really it should be the philosophy of these institutions. But these institutions should not become weapons of a social engineering policy think tank coming out of D.C. or other parts across this country. It's just been a phenomenal 10 months. Just at breakneck speed, all of the things that are being canceled, all of the things that they're trying to change. And I got to tell you, when you look at Alaska, boy, if they just let us alone, we could pull our own weight. If they just let us alone, we could develop our oil plays and our gas plays and all of our mining plays and our timber plays. And if they just let us alone to do that, if they didn't bog down the EIS studies and try and trip us up when it comes to investment with these ESG issues and these international banks now not wanting to invest in the Arctic, we're basically going to cede the Arctic to the Russians, to the Chinese, to others. None of this makes any sense. It's going to make America weak. It's going to make Alaska weak. It's going to make the individual weak. This does not strengthen our country in any form or fashion, and that's why we have to push back, David.
True. We're going to take another quick phone call before our commercial break. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Al.
Hello?
Al.
Hello, Al.
I'd like to ask the governor if he'd provide some leadership on the mandated COVID and all the businesses in Alaska that are requiring citizens of the state of Alaska to take these shots or conversely be persecuted or prosecuted or lose their job. I'd like to ask the governor to pull their business license in Alaska. We have to fight back over this criminal activity. And what about the kids, these forced jabs that they're going to try to implement on the tailcoats of all this?
Okay, I'm gonna hang up now. I've got about 30 seconds with the governor to answer that question. Thank you for the phone call.
So to answer the question, there's no forced jabs with kids. There's vaccines available if parents want to have their kids get a vaccination. That's entirely up to parents. The state is not going to force anyone to get a jab. With regard to the mandates, we've been talking about how we're fighting back with the other states on the federal mandates. With regard to private businesses, that's an interesting question. Should the governor get involved in stopping private business from conducting work rules that the business may see fit? And that's a tough one. We wrestle with that every day. Do we get involved and tell the businesses what they can or can't do? Because on the other hand, if Biden was governor of the state of Alaska, he would be telling businesses they must mandate. We're telling businesses that they don't have to mandate, and quite frankly, they shouldn't mandate. Because what's going to happen is they're going to lose workers, David, in an environment now in which it seems like nobody wants to work.
Very
so the
true.
More the more the businesses put these requirements on, the more they're going to find themselves they're going to find themselves without workers and without people that are going to want to work for that organization. So I caution them. I really caution them to seriously think this through.
Governor, we're going to come into a break here, and I'll be back after these messages.
On KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
The vice president is in Paris trying to patch things up for the Biden administration.
Seeking to mend fences with France, Vice President Kamala Harris began a four-day visit at a laboratory in Paris.
It is also an incredible statement about the history of the relationship between France and the United States.
She met with American and French scientists at the Institut Pasteur. The trip comes after relations with France hit a rough patch when a U.S. deal to supply Australia with submarines sank an existing French contract.
Fox's Simon Owen in London. After 6 months in orbit, the SpaceX Crew 2 astronauts are back home.
It was a late night, but no problem. The NASA crew splashed down in their SpaceX Dragon capsule right on cue in the Gulf of Mexico off Pensacola, Florida.
Fox's Phil Keating, SpaceX Crew 3 due to lift off tomorrow night. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Nature's Daily News reports the $1.2 trillion infrastructure package that passed the U.S. House Friday night will bring billions of dollars to Alaska to upgrade the state's aging highways and bridges, improve the struggling ferry system, and increase broadband access. Representative Don Young voted for the bill on Friday, joining just 12 other Republicans in approving it. In August, Senators Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan joined 17 of their fellow Republicans to approve the measure. Murkowski helped craft the bill earlier this year. Young, in a statement on Friday, called the bill historic and said it may be the last best chance to make badly needed improvements to infrastructure in Alaska. Young and other Republican supporters were criticized by some in their own party who called the bill wasteful. Young said the bill was flawed, but few bills are perfect, he said. The bill should have followed a different path to the House floor so improvements could be made, he said. Exactly how much Alaska will receive from the bill is unknown, since funding will be distributed by grants from federal agencies, officials said. Murkowski on Friday called the bill one of the most consequential legislative efforts she has worked on in her career.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Buying dry wood is good for you, your neighbors, and the air quality in this place we call home. Dry wood burns cleaner and more efficiently, so you can stay warm all winter long. Buying from a registered wood seller is the best way to ensure you're getting dry wood with the necessary 20% or less moisture content. Check out akwoodsellers.com to learn about registered wood sellers. And remember, protect our air. Buy dry wood. This message brought to you by the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation.
Lydia, that laceration needs attention. I'll take you to the emergency room.
No, Austin, take me to Stees Immediate Care.
I thought they only helped with a patient's routine wellness.
They do much more than that. They can help you with your primary care and urgent care needs.
You may need stitches, though.
Going to Stees Immediate Care costs a fraction of the cost of going to the emergency room.
But it's Saturday.
They are open on Saturdays until 3.
I can't imagine my life without you.
Oh, Austin.
You heat your home with wood because it's cost-effective. So why not get the most out of your fuel with a Blaze King from The Woodway? Blaze King has been the go-to wood stove in interior Alaska for decades. Blaze King wood stoves burn efficiently. They have long burn times and produce comfortable, even heat. Blaze King, proven technology for interior Alaska for decades. Buy yours from the interior's only authorized dealer, The Woodway. Heating your home the Alaskan way. The right way. The Woodway.
For you, the road is where you find it. Choose the tire that meets the demands of Alaska's snow, water, ice, and gravel year-round. Choose the Bridgestone Dueler AT Revo 3 from GCR Tires and Service, and go where your imagination goes. AT Revo 3 never compromises its dominating off-road performance or its quietly controlled, civilized ride on the road. For your light truck, SUV, and CUV, ride the Bridgestone AT Revo 3. GCR Tires and Service, the Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Perreault in the studio here with Governor Mike Dunleavy on the phone. How you doing there, sir?
Good, David. I just have a couple more minutes because they're going to be dragging me into another meeting.
Certainly. Go ahead, sir. Yeah, you're a busy gentleman.
But anyway, I just want to thank you for allowing me an opportunity to speak with the people of Fairbanks. We're up there this weekend at a function and had some meetings with some local entities And I can tell you, we're gonna look at this this infrastructure bill that came out to see what it really means for Alaska, and what potentially the any hidden strings attached to it, which there usually are, and how that may impact the state.
But yeah, what are they gonna make us comply with in a federal mandate? Yes.
Well, we hope not, but usually that's what occurs with some of this stuff. But we're gonna take a look at that. But I do. I want to thank you. I've got to run to this meeting, but I'll get back on here pretty quick, okay?
Thank you very much for your time, sir. You have a great day, Governor. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That was Governor Dunleavy, very busy gentleman, able to get him for a few moments today, about 20 minutes. Greatly appreciated. You know, it's interesting in a sad way that he has to be the defender of everything against the federal government under this administration that's coming in. It seems like the barbarians are at the gate, and you have to have someone there, and it's just a constant, you know. They're, like you said, Rhode Island has more of a wood production than the state of Alaska, and ponder that. That's not the best. We're going to take a phone call. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
My name is Bill.
Hello, Bill.
I'm wondering if the governor could state whether he's against the mandatory vaccination for elementary school kids.
Well, he's not here anymore, but he basically said there's no, he's not going to be implementing, nor he'll agree with any mandatory shots for anyone, period. He said that
presumably
earlier.
Presumably that would be for the existing regimen there for elementary school kids.
I would think so. I can't speak for him, but that's what he was against any mandatory inoculations for anyone. You know, as I said, it seems like the federal government is trying to incorporate and mandate a violation of a person's personal body. Now, I went and got my two shots. I was fine with that.
I'm not talking about COVID. I'm talking about the childhood diseases, that it's a mandatory requirement for the children there for elementary school to get these vaccinations.
I have no idea. You know, that's usually implemented on a school board, school-wide basis, not on a government.
Yeah, it's existing. Yeah. It already exists. Maybe your personal opinion. Do you think that's an outrage against the...
You know, I think any shot in a child should be the parents. It's up to them.
Uh-huh.
Period. It's up to them. Now, me growing up, my mom was a nurse, and you better believe I got all my shots.
Uh-huh.
But that was my parents' decision.
Uh-huh.
That's just...
Well, it's also, I guess, a community or a government-wide decision to have these
vaccinations. I don't know if that's the case or not, but I appreciate
it.
I appreciate the phone call. Got another one here, okay?
All right.
You take care. Bye. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Hello.
Hello. Who's this?
Oh, this is Matt.
Hello, Matt. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. It's too late to give a question to the governor, I take it, huh?
Yeah, but go ahead and throw it at me. I'll answer for the governor, per se. How's that?
Yeah, I'm not sure you could answer this one.
What's on your mind?
There's a class action suit starting about an RS-2477 trail out on the White Mountain Recreation Area, out where I've been being hassled.
Oh, boy.
A trapping cabin. And whatnot, and it's just a pushback to reclaim one of our state highways down there and possibly build a trail system and put some cabins up for the public. They seem to be fighting it really hard.
You know, what is it about the federal government, and they're just trying to make Alaska be their own private park?
It seems like it, but there's other interests out there, and
yeah,
it's something else that's going on out there. But it's been espionage going on out there at that trapping cabin for quite some time.
Oh boy,
put them back 7 years ago, real hard through Dan Sullivan and Lisa Murkowski's office, and they went away. It's not on their property. They keep stating that it is, and they came back, and I'm just done trying to fight them by myself.
They wear you down, don't they? They wear you down, they wear you out.
Yeah, but they really pissed off a lot of people. They don't realize how many people they got going against them now. They did a lot of strange stuff out there. I have the bill that was given by the Sullivan's office.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done a lot of stuff out there that they weren't supposed to do without interviewing all the trail users and people in the area, and they're supposed to be preserving the history and actually not letting it go down, and they seem to just be letting this whole section, they want to pretend like it doesn't exist.
Ah.
And it is a state, it's the Snowshoe Beaver Trail, and it used to go from Fairbanks all the way to the village of Beaver on the Yukon River, and then mm-hmm. it split onto three trails after that, and on to Chandelier and up and down the Yukon. And it was a major route. There was cabins every 10 miles.
Yeah.
And from reading the bill, which has been law for 24 years, we should be able to use it and actually rebuild those cabins as trail shelters to the public. And it can be used for commercial, economic, trapping, hunting, subsistence. It's all about the user priority in the bill. It has the state, the DNR, and the public, and it purposely does not list the feds because it's a pushback to keep the highways open, even if it goes through federal public land. And I just don't get why you can't get the DNR and the feds together and the public and reestablish these cabins. And
Matt, he will be back on again, and when he is, please call immediately, and you can ask him that question. That's the thing about this show. I wish he would have been on here. You've brought up a great item and great issue, and I'll have him back on here. Simple as that. Okay, buddy?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then this is about 100 people so far, so this isn't small, and it's getting bigger and bigger, and there's people been out there 45 years. They were supposed to interview these people before they conveyed anything or did anything. There's a lot of problems with this.
Oh, boy.
You have a good day.
Thank you, Matt. Really appreciate that.
Bye.
Bye. You know, I try not to dwell into the federal government side. I've got a show before me and a show after me. But I had the governor on here, and there's so many things that he has to deal with in regards to protection for the state of Alaska, our statehood compact, our statehood rights, our individual rights, mandates, property closures, property takings. It just never ends, because we are the state with the largest amount of federal property by far. And over the years, it's just our access, our use, our rights have just been eroded. And so you have these grassroots groups like Matt and these 100 people. You have these grassroots organizations like the Laundry House Gang that I have in here the first Tuesday of every month that are there sounding the alarm, trying to protect us. You know, John Sturgeon, his lawsuit going all the way to the Supreme Court twice. Ponder that. And, you know, we, north to the future, north to Alaska, you know, we live in a place that we're very independent up here. Yet we all get along when there's an issue, when someone needs help, we all get along so well. And that's what makes this a wonderful state and a wonderful area. And it just seems like we've had a lot of intrusion from this latest administration and the Obama Biden administration. This seems like they look at Alaska, okay, well, we will take away from them, that way we have given promise to our constituency on this extremist view, and we can satisfy that promise. Anyway, Fairbanks, we are going to take a commercial break. We're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, a look at Alaska's budding new industry, brought to you by Good Titrations, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon, and then the Trax Outdoor Show with Mike Hajdukovich, sponsored by Trax Outdoor Center at 12:30. And later, it's Fairbanks Foodies at 5:30. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio.
Denali Industrial Supply brings you the end-of-year Milwaukee Tool Blowout. Contractors and builders, it's the perfect time to replace your worn-out tools for next season and write them off on this year's taxes. Bear tools, multi-tool kits, single tools with batteries, chargers, and M12 and M18 batteries. Build your own kit and save as much as 50%. Just in time for Christmas gift giving, too. Milwaukee Power Tools, on sale at Denali Industrial Supply now through the end of the year. Denali Industrial Supply on Van Horn Road.
Don't miss 50-50 Friday on KFAR. Every Friday morning at 9 a.m. sharp, we offer up amazing gift certificates from different local businesses. That's when they go on sale for half price. From incredible food offers to fantastic services, you'll get it for half price every Friday at 9 a.m. So don't miss out on this offer.
It may not be 40 below. However, there's still a nip in the air, but there is an easy way to look and feel better. Because this coming Friday's 50-50 deal is from the tanning salon voted Fairbanks' best, TurboTans. Get a certificate for 60 consecutive days of unlimited UV tanning half off. 60 days of any level booth or bed. Even includes the high-pressure bed at TurboTans. So this Friday, get your 60 days of unlimited UV tanning valued at $220, yours for only $110. That's half off. That's this Friday's TurboTans and 50-50 Friday.
This Friday morning at 9 a.m., log on to our website at KFAR660.com. Simply click on the red 50-50 ticket in the upper right-hand corner and get your gift certificate for half price. That's 50-50 Friday at KFAR660.com.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
A blend of clouds and sun today with highs around 9 above. Northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies and quiet tonight. Lows dip down to about 9 below. Daytime highs approaching 6 above. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 2 degrees above zero.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back. Fairbanks, David Prus in the studio here, and we are coming into the holiday season. Now, here in the studio, we have a few people who love Christmas. And Jen, she knows I'm talking about her. Great person. And literally, the Halloween was on a Sunday. And on Monday, she was bringing out the stockings, trees, and everything. So we are coming into the holiday season. But I'm going to take a quick phone call here before I go more into what's coming up in the holiday season. Here we go. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Hey, it's Charles, Dave.
Charles, how you doing, sir?
Oh, I was going to suggest a topic or a subject, a real estate term called involuntary alienation.
That's a taking of your property without your permission by a governmental entity, usually?
Well, yeah.
How's that for an immediate dictionary on
well,
that?
I could probably expound on that quite a bit.
Yeah, it happens. It happens when for a state or a government entity wants to take your property for non-payment of taxes. Or
what I wanted to focus on was affecting the credit report over something that's not really a home mortgage, not a car loan. But still a taking.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of what the involuntary part.
Yes, it is. You have alienation means a transfer of real estate. You have two types: voluntary, which is I sell to you, or you sell to me, or something like that, or I lease to you, you lease to me, and you have involuntary alienation, which is basically a government entity or foreclosure. Some where it's a hostile taking from someone without their permission. That's what involves.
If there's no home mortgage, and the real estate would probably be the collateral. Governments can do these things without letting you know what they're doing to you, and they don't seem to.
They have to give you notice.
Take any input on what the damage is actually done compared to what.
In an involuntary alienation, they must give you notice. Say they're taking a road right away. They have to give you.
Well, that didn't happen. That's why I want to talk to.
Okay, go ahead.
People about that subject, but all I can do right now is just recommend that as a subject.
Okay.
And think about better days, going fishing or something.
There you go. Hey, I appreciate it. Good hearing from you again. You're one of my history people, and I don't know what we're having on tomorrow with Nick Williams, but it'll be good. Simple as that. Nick Nugent. He's very good. Simple as that.
That's what I'm more interested in anyway. Kennecott and Dahl were in Alaska in 1865 before the purchase, and George Adams was their guide.
Wow.
And that's more what I'd like to think about than the borough in particular.
You got
I don't want to start a business here. I want to get out. I want to leave as fast as I can. There's no incentive for me to start any business whatsoever.
Oh, boy.
I tell people that. No.
Okay.
Why?
Well, hey, I'm gonna go on some different subjects here. You take care. And a big shout out to my compatriot Nick Williams. He's a very good realtor. He's with another company, and he knows what he's doing. I like him as both a person and a professional. And anyway, he's a great guy. Now, we are coming into the holiday season as Jen of our radio program here let me know as I walked in on Monday, the first business day after Halloween, and out with the trick-or-treat stuff. She put out two little Thanksgiving turkeys that were, you know, paper mache things, and then out came the Christmas trees, out came the stockings, out came the lighted snowman, and I thought, okay, we're coming into the Christmas season. Now, with that, we're coming out of COVID, and we're coming into the Christmas season, and it's a lot of fun in Fairbanks. That's a lot of fun in Fairbanks. And for the first time in 2 or 3 years, the North Star Ballet will be putting on the Nutcracker. Now, how many times have I been to the Nutcracker with all my god kids? Many times. Not in the last few years, though. But they are doing it soon. And it will be the December 4th, Saturday, and Sunday, December 5th. They have three shows on Saturday. It's at 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. And on Sunday, it's at 2 p.m. on Sunday the 5th. So it's at Holiday Classic, and I'm going to be having the artistic director and the executive director of North Star Ballet. The artistic director is Cortland Weaver, and the executive director is Samantha Reynolds. And they're going to be in here on a Friday, the 22nd of November. That's 2 weeks from this Friday. And we're going to be talking about them being back. And it's so good. We're emerging from COVID. We're all getting used to COVID. We've been through another round of COVID, but we're all getting used to it. And you don't want to have to get used to it, but guess what? We're coming out of it. We had a baseball season. We've had concerts. I'm so glad I don't live in Anchorage because they're shutting things down again, but that's lost Anchorage. Now, if you want to go to the North Star Ballet presentation of Nutcracker, you can go online or buy them at the Artisan Courtyard there on College Road, or you visit northstarballet.org. That is northstarballet.org, and you can get tickets there. Now, also, this weekend, this Friday, Saturday and Sunday, November 12th, 13th, and 14th, the Holiday Marketplace will be on again at the Carlson Center. You know, if you need to get your Christmas shopping done without going to the individual bazaars, or this is the biggest bazaar we got, this is the one. This is the one. You know, it's, you can bring the whole family. One-stop shopping for everyone. On Friday, it's from noon to 7 p.m. That's on this Friday the 12th. On Saturday, November 13th, it's from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. On Sunday, November 14th, it's from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. So there's a time and an effort for anyone who wants to go there. And there's going to be over 175 artists. And it's anything and everything you can think of. Clothing, shoes, baby wear, handmade local artisans with handmade soap and candles. Furriers. We live in Alaska. Furriers. The Christmas ornaments. The authentic beadwork by people. Local photography. Children's toys. Handbags. Crafted wood bowls. Artists. You know, it's that one place that you can go and you're going to find something you like. Prices, adults $5. Kids under 12 are free. And we're back. The stage is set, both the big room and the breakout room there. Plus, they'll have food vendors. They'll have food there. And this, the system is now operated by the Fairbanks North Star Borough. So let's give them a hand. Let's help them with their operational costs. You know, $5 a cover charge to go in there and spend an hour to three in there and all the things you can buy. And for $5, it's what we're given to the artists for their opportunity to be Fairbanks, to be out there and selling their wares. We're going to take a phone call. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Randy.
Hello, Randy.
Yeah, I just want to say I sure appreciate Governor Dunleavy standing up against the brutal authoritarian vaccine mandate coming out of the Biden administration. I certainly don't agree with Dunleavy about putting a PFD into the Constitution, but that's another story. But I really appreciate him doing that. And also, I'd just like to say I think it's perfectly okay for a business to have a vaccine mandate as a condition of entry, like some restaurant, for instance. That's okay because it's private property. They can do with what they want at their property. And everybody has tons of other options, you know, for going to another restaurant or whatever they want to do. So that's how I think of it.
Yeah, good, yeah. You know, it's very simple for me. A government can't mandate me having a vaccine or anything like that. But a private business, you know, they can mandate if you're going to enter the premises here, you got to wear a mask. Or if you're going to enter the premises here, you have to be vaccinated. They can do that. And I can choose not to enter the premises for those reasons. So I agree with both sides there, but I do not agree in any way, shape, or form that a government can mandate anything on my health. Or,
yeah, that's a tyranny.
Yeah, that's a parent's duty for their kids and my duty for myself. Now, I wouldn't have got my shots before this was ever an issue. If there's ever a booster for the Moderna, I'll get that. I'm good to go. I don't worry about it. But that's my personal choice. It's my individual choice. And I will never, ever let anyone tell you that you have to submit to have that shot for their choice. You know, it's, you know, I appreciate people, but don't tell me how to live my life anyway. Randy, I greatly appreciate the phone call, sir. How you been doing?
Real good. And by the way, I'm pro-vaccine, but I have elected at this time not to get the vaccine. Just I'd like to study it more. I may get it in the future, may not, but that's my choice.
Yeah, you know, and everyone has that right. And a lot of people, there's no one shot fits all. My nephew, he's got a medical condition. He can't get it. Other people have that too. So, you know, simple as that. One shot does not fit all. Anyway, buddy, I got to run. You take care. Fairbanks, you have a great day. And I will see you tomorrow with Nick Nugent, and we're going to talk about Fairbanks history. You take care.